You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You are now listening to the Ride or Crash Podcast.
What up?
What's up? How are you?
What's good? Up, dude? You look like a million bucks.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you. No, you lot. What's popping?
Oh, you know.
I was just reminiscing about how, like, my last outing into the world was with you at Emo Night. Like, I think that was the last show.
That was a bit fucking balmy, wasn't it? I think, like, we were saying that, like, at the start of Corona, us being there, I was, like, kissing everyone. So
yeah, dude.
Yeah, the juxtaposition of that night of, like, us just hugging everyone and, like, everybody was on that podium and everything, and then to going into solitude.
I remember I was on when I was, like, unplugging the sound desk and shit.
I was having a panic attack, but I was also having the best time, so I was trying to, like, so plug rocky. Everything
back. Oh, yeah, you were just stepping on everything. It was the best. It was, like, and that's what I love. That's, like, what I loved about it is, like, I love the chaos of it, and I love, like, the chaos that, and it was such a, like, what Babs was saying is that was the last hurrah before we were like, oh, now we can't do anything. Dude, so yeah, you went out with a bang.
We definitely went out with a bit of a bang, didn't we?
Yeah, ooh. It was so fun. It's also cool because, so I feel like I went to your first show ever in the US, but correct me if I'm wrong, but was it the Viper Room?
Dude, yeah, the first, I remember the Viper Room was mental because we'd legitimately, like, just been signed, and it was like, it wasn't really a show, I don't think, because no one
was. It was like a showcase. Yeah, everyone was like this. And I was in the middle. I don't know if you saw me, but I was just like rocking out in the middle.
Yeah, no one gave a fuck about us. You know what I mean? in the UK. So I remember we came over to America and then people kind of seemed to get it. And then we were just like, 6 weeks later, we're playing the fucking Viper Room. And I'm like, what? This is insane.
Just so fun.
Why do you think that they're like in the UK? Why don't you think people got it?
I don't know, man. I just think people got it. Just the UK music industry didn't get it at the start. You know what I mean? It was just like, to them, man, at that time, rock music was so dead in inverted commas. And that's what they were saying. So, I mean, it was like, I was just like, I don't know. I think no one really got my vision at all. No one understood. I think a lot of people in music, kind of, especially when you're starting out, wanting to be an artist of, like, kind of culture and cultural representation, ain't really that. People aren't interested in them because initially it don't make them a lot of money. You know what I mean?
And I think 100%.
I think I always just said, like, I think people got turned off by the fact I was like, I just want to build a culture of people who can exist somewhere, being able to be themselves and belong to a community of people who are going to uplift them for no matter what they look like, what their sexuality is, whatever they want to be, they can be that here. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, cool. What about radio? I'm like, fuck radio. Why are you even asking me that question? How can you follow that sentence up with that word? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, well, dude, and it was I'm sorry, Babs.
Oh, no, go ahead.
It was just, it's been so cool to watch you grow. It really has been so cool to watch you grow. And I remember seeing you when you played Emo Night. Like, I remember when you played, like, upstairs. One of the fucking greatest things in the world. And then I was doing Lollapalooza a couple of years ago. I was, like, hosting it. And I watched, it was, you played like one of the first sets during the day.
Dude, it was so hot that day. I remember we just come off Warped Tour. So everyone's like, how did you even get through that hour set? And we were like, listen, we've been in the mud, in the trenches of Warped Tour for like 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Six weeks. So we were like kind of conditioned up for it. We were like 1 p.m. slot in this burning heat. We got it. Easy.
Yeah. After Warped Tour, you can do anything. Like that's a real boot camp for touring.
Earn your stripes there, don't you?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I feel like a huge reason, I mean, as I've watched you grow from that point to now, it's been really cool because I think a huge reason why you are where you are is because you connect with your fans. Is it nighttime where you are?
Yeah. Where are you?
Okay.
I'm drinking, so everyone's just like, what time is it there? I'm like, it's 10 a.m.
No, I genuinely wouldn't judge you at all, but I was like, damn, this is sick. I feel like a huge reason that you have gotten to where you are is because you have such a great way to connect with your fans, whether it's in real life or online. And obviously now we're living in a time where it's all online and it's, you know, it's a different way to connect with people, but it's still been kind of weird. And I feel like in general, 2020, there are two kinds of people right now. It's either like, fuck 2020, or like, this is the best time we've all been able to tune into what's important to us, what matters, how can we help, you know, what can we do? And I feel like you definitely fall in that category, but
absolutely. And that was it, man. It's like, everyone always asks me, man, what, like, why are you like still so happy about kind of everything, and why are you so close to your fan base? And I genuinely just kind of always, I think one of the biggest parts about it is it's just like, we're a big group of friends. There's millions of us now, but we're kind of there. I was like, I always, no matter what, kind of call 10 of my fans every month just to check in on them and check how everything's feeling in the community and how everyone's feeling. I was like, go like drop some black hearts on my Instagram post and I'm going to call 10 of you, because I never expected it to get this big. You know what I mean? And I always want to remain so close with them, because I got in it because I felt like the person I was wasn't right or wasn't accepted because of a society that made me feel that way. So I think that bond between people who feel the same as you and make you feel less lonely, or you are completely lonely as fuck, but you're lonely together, so that makes you feel a little bit better, can't really be broken very easily. You know what I mean? And I think it's kind of the moment I realized that it became not about me anymore. It's about, oh fuck, this is bigger than that. This is us. This is we. This is like a community of people. Because when I first, like, I felt that way when I was like listening, blasting My Chem when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? I was like, these people are the only people in the world that understand me, and they know what I'm thinking, and they've never even met me. But then when I started to see it with us, I kind of was a bit mind blown. And I think like this year has been, obviously it's rough as fuck for everyone, but I feel more close to my fan base than ever. Even just because we can't touch each other don't mean we can't feel each other.
We 100%. And so like, just like you, we've had to shift and do everything online, and being close and talking to our community is something that we do all day. We started a Discord channel, and the day that you went to the protests, our Discord channel was blowing up, being like, oh my God, I can't believe this is so great. It's so great to see.
Yeah, I think it was like that day where you were like on top, where there was like the photo of you on top of the cars. Dude,
that was so crazy because people started, it was quite wild. And that obviously, that the moments leading up to that were horrible and tragic and really disgusting. So me and my friends were like, we need to be out there, even though there's a pandemic on. I was like, this is more important. This cause, like, I don't care if I get hurt. This cause is like, needs to be talked about, because it's exactly what we stand for, equality for everybody. And an entire race have been mistreated. So no one, we can't all be equal until the black community are equal with us. You know what I'm saying? So we were out there And it was mental because apparently some news camera was filming me on the top of a police car, and they, but they didn't even know it was me until people saw it. And then obviously some people who knew me, because obviously I was masked up and stuff, and screenshotted it. You know what I mean? Must have screenshotted it and been like, is that Dom? And then that went around, and then my mum's texting me like, get down off that police car, which was crazy. You know what I mean? But the fact of it was so amazing to be part of that was because to see my generation and people older and younger coming together for what is right, what is simply right, was insane. And it was so heartbreaking to kind of see all the hate that kind of the government were putting back, you know what I'm saying? Because everyone's been so peaceful, but it just was turning violent, and it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they were really talking about, that's what I'm saying, is like our whole channel was just really proud that you were out there, and so were we. We were, Babs has gone to her fair share of protest. I was in a different state for a while where I went to my fair share.
I got a shout out Halsey as well. Ash was out there with me. Like we're good friends. You know what I mean? I know people know we've had a like kind of relationship in the past, but we were out there as friends, and she was incredible out there. Absolutely incredible out there.
Yeah.
She
was you guys were like helping people with medical aid too, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It was wild. You know what I mean? It was kind of, we couldn't believe it, but she's kind of, I really respect her as an artist, because I think that's how we kind of met, really, because we share exactly the same ideologies in terms of what we believe and kind of what we say to the world in our music. You know what I mean? So kind of we were out there together, and it was amazing to see people so passionate and like screaming at the top of their lungs. Like, you can't make that shit up.
It's really strange, like the range of emotion, because you're incredibly happy people are out, right? But the reason why people are out doing this is an incredibly tragic situation.
Dude, absolutely. So
it's really a lot of emotional turmoil through this whole thing.
Dude, absolutely, from everyone, and it's just kind of laughable that it's just for like human rights.
That's
totally.
It.
And
it's
do you feel like
it's still laughable that in 2020 we still do it? Like, this crazy.
Do you feel like artists have a responsibility to have a voice and to stand up? And I don't know. It sucks seeing certain artists not even saying anything.
Dude, if you are fucking not standing up for what's right and protection of your brand, then you ain't an artist, man. You're a karaoke singer, because you aren't bringing anything into the world. Like, you are. As artists, people are, you create art to say something. You create art to be a heightened emotion of what is going on in the world. And if you're neglecting that, and if you're not talking about it, then, do you know what I mean? It's like, I know I probably should be going, oh, great, you do what you want. But I don't, if you're not talking about this, then you're ignorant. And you know what I mean? I want to have anything to do with you. You know what I mean? I think it should be spoken about. If, like, bring up the conversation, because that's how we change it. Tell your friends to vote, to be educated, to educate yourselves, to educate your parents, to educate people the older generation who have grown up in a different way of kind of existing. And it's not necessarily their fault that some of their views are kind of fucking weird and disruptive. That's just what they've been taught. They don't know. You only know the sky is blue if you figure out it's blue for yourself. If you've been taught it's green your whole life, you're going to believe it's green. So it's our job to educate people and vote. Like, this November, go out and vote. Like, seriously, something needs to change from a law perspective. Like, it's genuinely that high up.
Totally. That's, and I feel like, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, totally cool. This is a whole new thing for all of us, like, doing the podcasting.
Honestly, like, over, like, in a room, you can kind of look at each other and give each other, like, evil eyes if someone interrupts you. But over Zoom, it's kind of hard, isn't it?
I know. We've been working on not talking over each other. It's like as a company, we're just trying to be like, no, please, you go.
You go. We're trying to be very polite because there's always like a little bit of latency. So it'll always be like a no, and then it's usually me. Honestly, it's usually me, but...
But I was just going to say, this is such a great time as a fan of artists to look at how they're handling the pandemic, how they're handling everything that's going on in terms of these social justice movements. And kind of it makes me think totally differently about people and artists and everyone. It makes me think like, oh, this is who you are. This is actually who you are.
Completely. I think in moments like this, in moments of uncertainty and pain and fear, that's when you really learn who humans are, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, you really learn who people are, you know what I mean? You kind of really see it in that moment of, like, as I say, even going back to the protest thing, like Ash was my friend, and like I didn't know, like, being in that moment together, that's when you see someone's real personality. Like, when there's nothing, you know what I mean? For that split second of fear. And that's when you really see someone. And I think especially right now, like, there's been a lot of fucking truth come out, because there is nowhere to hide now. Because usually in society, you kind of, especially in ours, like, it's like a fucking crime to think. It's like, I need a second to think. People are like, why the fuck are you thinking, man? Just do. Just go, 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 go. Especially in our thing with social media and everyone's so busy all the time that right now we've had time to think, we've had time to speak, and we've had time to kind of assess.
Totally.
I was talking to one of my friends the other day that I hadn't spoken to in a long time, who's been really involved in all of this. And you know, he's one of my black buds, and he was like, dude, it's not what happens to you that defines you. It's how you react to what happens to you that defines you. And I think that that's incredibly telling about how a lot of artists and a lot of people have handled the situations that have been put in front of us. And
completely, even in terms of everything, even in terms of climate change, even in terms of so many world issues, even in terms of like LGBTQ plus rights with what's going on in Poland right now. And it's legitimately kind of giving people spotlight on what is wrong with the world. And this is why I have such faith in my generation, man. This is why I've like kind of my fan base, we are so fucking tight, is because we see a world we want to be a part of. We see a future we want to be a part of. We believe that every single person, no matter who you are, no matter what color you are, size, shape, sexuality, whatever the fuck you want to be, if you want to walk around in a fucking fucking panda suit and you know what I mean, drag a fucking pink fucking teddy bear snake around, if that's who you are, then fucking great. Do you know what I mean? That's legitimately like, that's what my fucking generation is fighting for. And every single, a lot of generations have been fighting for that before, but they didn't have social media. No one had a voice that can be heard by the world right away, because all you got to do is put something on Twitter and it's out there. It's in the fucking world for millions and millions and millions of people to see. Instead of 20 years ago, 25 protesters were outside the White House and the media covered it up.
Yeah, we couldn't see things instantly back then. And now we get to see things instantly as they're happening and form our own viewpoints on them, because we're not just getting, that's the great thing about this, is we can actually go and see this and not be fed it.
As it should be, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's what's so kind of special, man. It's just like, with my fan base as well, it's always a conversation. I ain't fucking perfect. I ain't got all the answers. Neither have they. So we pull each other up. And if we mess up, we do that. And it's like, we talk about it and it's solved.
Totally. And there was that poem that you wrote and put out on your Instagram. Like, I feel like it was around the beginning of all the protests and stuff. There's a line in it that really got me, and it was, to be free is what it means to be successful to me. And I think that's so interesting, because the way that, you know, I even look at what success is from who I was 5 months ago. And it's like, oh, we sold out this venue, or, you know, the benchmarks of success were so different. And now to me, success is, what are you doing to better the world? Like what are you doing to change?
You ain't free, you're fucked.
Right. Totally.
You can have anything. Freedom can be trapped in a job you hate. You don't have to necessarily be like, you fucking, you know what I mean? Freedom is everything. Freedom is being in a household, fucking not being able to tell your parents that you're fucking gay. You know what I mean? That's not been free. It's someone crying their eyes out every day because they have a crippling feeling in the stomach that they can't express, and everyone around them makes them feel like it's wrong to feel that way. Freedom isn't just like a word that can be used so kind of nonchalantly. Freedom is a thing that we're all fighting for, and we all fucking deserve the feeling to be free in being who we are. And that's what I fight for every day. That's what I get up for every day, because I see it, man. I see that look when I'm on stage and I look at the barrier and I look at the people in the back and I catch eyes with people and I look at people in the street and I'm like, you're one of me and I'm one of you. We are the same, and we are free, and we are in love with each other in a way, because we accept each other for who we are. As I got sidetracked about 20 minutes ago.
That was like a perfect way, as watching you grow and watching you perform and listening to your music. I think the way you just described people is a really real, I think that nobody could listen, watch you, hear you talk, see you perform, and think that you're anything but what you just said.
But that's it, because it's like, I felt that shit, man. I grew up in like the North, and I wanted to wear skirts, and I wanted to kind of, I didn't know where I was at sexually, and I didn't know what I wanted to be. And everyone kind of made me feel weird for it. And everyone kind of like made me feel like I was a little bit, just kind of a little bit too this or a little bit too that, or a little bit not quite enough in this area. And I think a lot of people face that. And I think it's important. All I want to be for these people when they're growing up, and we're going to grow up together. Fuck, man. That's right. grow up together.
I know, I keep turning my shit down.
Yeah. Grow up together is safe. And like, you got a community. Because you can spend so much time of growing up not actually growing up, just being nervous as fuck. When people are like, you got to feel that shit to grow up, I'm like, no, you don't. Not necessarily. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, things are going to burn you, and yes, you're going to learn from it. But if you're in a community of people that accept you for who you are, you kind of figure those mistakes out together. And that's insane.
Totally. Being a teenager or just being young is hard in itself. So you don't need an extra layer of people trying to put you in boxes and label you.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. And that's it, man. It's just like, I always say that, man, if you feel like you belong nowhere, then you belong exactly right here with me and this bunch of freaks, rejects, everything in between.
I really think that's the reason why we all got started in doing what we're doing, is because there is a little bit of that freak, weirdo, reject, outcast all of us.
Exactly.
And that's why we're sitting here talking about this on a Zoom together. We're three people who would have normally never meet because of a common ground of how we felt.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. It's like when I was talking about earlier about FaceTime my fans, one of my family said to me, like, when I walk into a YB show, it's like I fucking can breathe, because it's like everybody on that floor, everybody in the seats or whatever, we just go like, I can just walk up to someone like, yo, what's up? Because I know we have something in common. I know that we feel the same. I know that we're there for a reason. I don't have to get over the bullshit of, are you going to like me because I look like this? Are you going to like me because I behave like this? Are you going to like me because I like boys? Are you going to like me because I'm misunderstood by everyone else on the planet, and I don't think you're going to even get me, so there's no point opening my mouth. Do you know what I mean? And it's just so sick to kind of, I get pissed off because I'm like, fuck, man, I don't want to be on stage. I want to be in there with you lot.
Yeah.
Oh, and then that's sometimes you are.
That's why I'm the last tour. I'm going to do a song in the middle of the crowd because I want to be down there. Fuck being on stage. It looks
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun, dude. That's been a really, really, I mean, especially for, I don't ever want to speak for Babs, but I think for me at least, and I think for her, I think it's been a very, very hard thing for us to not be able to be and see people's faces and feel that energy and feel that connection, especially after we've been doing this for so many years in so many cities. And it's taken a weird toll on us and our creative process, on like how we do things day to day and online. And I wanted to know if how is your creative process and like writing process? Has it changed?
It's so weird. It's fucking bizarre, but I kind of like it, man, because I love thinking out of the box. You know what I mean? I love always telling the box to fuck off. So if that's the old way of doing things and that's the box, then I've got something to kick against. That's like my favorite thing to kind of do. But it has been weird, man. But as I say, like, I think when this happened, I was like, all right. I remember when we first got locked down and all our tours were getting cancelled, the Youngblood show came into my head. And I was just like, what is always like so apparent about my community is it's always them who blows it up. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to do a live stream concert. Let's do the first one to fucking do it. Call my manager, call my best friend. Because all my team, we're all just best mates. Like, my manager, Gav's like 22. Yeah. And Tom, my photographer's like 24 and I'm 23. You know what I mean? So we're all just like...
That show was so good. And I love that MGK was just like an hour late.
Like always, my best mate. Like,
always.
He just strolls in like so late. Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker. Dude. No, it's because like... It's because he got locked out the gate. So okay. He was here. But okay. He climbed the gate and was like, I'm fucking here, dude. I'm not late, I promise.
Dude, I have a really, really, really... I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you since this happened to me, but there, like, he came to emo night early one night and he pulls me into his car. It was his first Range Rover I've ever been in. I was like, I've never been in one of these. And he goes, hey, I want to show you something. He's like, I want to show you something that's really, really special. And the first beginning acoustic guitar riff to the song that you guys did together. It revived the way that I feel about rock music in this current time. It made me feel so different than I felt about so much other stuff that I've heard. And the fact that two huge artists feel this way about the same type of music,
dude,
could have not been a cooler feeling and cooler memory to me. So, and that was before it was out. That was like, he was like, dude, I got a rough of this thing. Do you want to hear it? And it made me go nuts.
Dude, yay. And that's, that was the thing that, because I remember Kells hit me up. I was like, yo, MGK, that's crazy. Because I was like, I obviously knew who he was. And I went round to his house and I was in like a skirt and I just walked. I didn't even knock on his door. Like, this is the story he tells everyone. He's like, Kells is in the studio, like, writing, and I walk into his house, and all his boys are there. And, like, someone walks into the, and I'm like, hello, lads, have you seen Kells anywhere? And he always, like, tells that story that all his mates are like, dude, why is there a guy in a dress, like, in some British dude in a dress? And Kells is like, oh, no, that's Youngblood. Bring him in. You know what I mean? And then Kells literally sits down and plays me. And I go, this is sick. And we write a song and it came out because it is that thing. It was that feeling of Mike M and The Used and Green Day and Sum 41 and Blink 182 that we'd just been missing and what we grew up on. That shit saved my life. So I was like, let's bring this to a new generation of young people and let's see if they like it. And fuck me, people loved it.
Oh, I'm fucking obsessed with that song. Like, I've probably played it 4,000 times during quarantine. And it bummed me out because Travis and MGK played it at the 5-year, and I think you were just out of town. It would have been really cool to
Dude, yeah.
But it was still so good. I mean, it was...
Dude, it was crazy. And yeah, dude, like Travis is the best. And I remember when he came and played on 11 Minutes, that was the first time I met him. And I was just like, oh my God, you've been on my bedroom wall. Like, you've seen me do such naughty things. Mr. Bob. Right. And he was just like, laughing.
Yeah. So I'm always like, how does he have time to do all the things that he does?
Dude, because he don't sleep and just loves music.
Yeah, he's just like I picture him only sitting at his drum kit. Like, he just never gets up. And then people just rotate around.
He's not sat at his drum kit. He's on a practice pad. It's like, yo, what's up, man? I'm Travis, dude. Cat. He's having a conversation about fucking, I don't know. We're talking about, fuck me, we're talking about In and Out. And he's just fucking playing his drums.
Yeah, it's dude, so good.
It's been a really, really, really cool thing to see these groups of people come together that normally I wouldn't,
What's insane about it is, right, it's like no one's looking over the shoulder going, oh, what's that? What are they doing? What are they doing? We're just fucking mates who feel like we're part of a scene together. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. It's like some weird fucking thing that it's like Kells, Black Bear, Modstone, Travis, everyone's just kind of, even the new Blink shit, like Brian Lee, Post Sky, we're all just kind of like, this just feels really good. When normally, like, if you go to LA, everyone's like, oh my God, what's everyone doing? And like shitting themselves that someone might drop a song on the same day as you, or someone might fucking play a bigger venue than you. And we're just like, we don't really give a fuck about that, because it's like, dude, like your new fucking tune sounds like Blink. Like, I feel like I'm like in my bedroom discovering that I don't need to die. You know what I mean? Like that kind of shit. It's like, whoa, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. And I think that was missing for a really long time. I think there was a time where everyone did that. All the bands would like come together and it was a community. And I think there was just a gap where that just everyone was like, this is my
guacamole.
Music.
It all became guacamole. I call it guacamole rock music. You can tell it was written at 10, like the session was started from 10 and it ended at 5 and everyone was eating fuckloads of guacamole and drinking sparkling water and not fucking like, you know, I mean, there was a period where it just became like everyone was singing about fuck all, you know what I mean? And that's why kind of rock music fell asleep for a little bit, because it became really guacamole-fied.
It feels like the group that you guys have reminds me of when I was a little kid, like having band practice, and our friends would come over and somebody would switch bass. We'd have another
dude. You don't even understand. Like, we're like little kids. You're exactly right. We literally like go to each other's houses and we're like, "Yo, should we just like jam tonight and play on the electric drum kit and like, I don't know, drink Dr. Pepper?" And we're just such nerds because we're just like, this feels so good, and we just jam together. And like, as I say, me, Bear, Kells, and Travis, we want to do a band together one day. You know what I mean?
We
literally, like, when the time's right and when we kind of all like stop doing our own shit for a bit and come back down to earth, we're like, we should tour this.
Yeah.
I mean, I play bass, so keep me, you know, here we go. Yes. Just keep me in mind, whatever, no big deal.
Yeah. Dude.
I also wanted to tell you that Lemonade is so good, and I'm obsessed, but I would love if we were in real life right now so that we could mosh to it. And yeah, so I have a proposition for you that when things are back into real life, we were just talking to our friend Demi and we're going to do a silent mosh pit, because we did one last summer at Firefly Festival. So we're going to do a silent mosh pit at Emo Nights. Everyone just has headphones and hears it. And then we got to do it, I think.
Dude, I'm down. When does this come out, by the way?
In like 3 weeks.
Oh, great. Well, I've got a song coming out with Bring Me the Horizon on Tuesday.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, shit.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah, so that'll definitely have to be in the Silent Mosh Pit song, too.
Okay. Yeah. God, I want to do, like, a whole set. Like, I want to do... I have this all planned out, just different artists.
That's so crazy. this podcast is coming out, like, before the song comes out. That's so trippy. Like, no, after the song comes out, but, like, now I'm speaking in the past, technically.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool.
We're in the future.
But not yet. We're in the past. Well, maybe whatever.
Yeah,
well, you're in the future, dude. It's fucking tomorrow for you.
Wait, how did this Bring Me song come about? When did you guys record it?
Well, as I say, Ollie just texted me and was like, "Do you want to do this?" And I was like, 13-year-old Dom, who is in a skirt and a corn hoodie in a bus stop with a black eye because some dickhead's been taking the piss out of me, and I got Chelsea smile blasting in my headphones. Is freaking out. And I was like, yeah, man, I'd absolutely love to do that with you. And we just got together, man, because like I was in LA at the time, in lockdown. So I had a studio in my house, and you sent me and I recorded it. That I was like, yes, I'm in, let's do it. And then in the UK right now, everything's kind of easing up, really. We're kind of like, people are back shooting, as long as you like kind of obey the rules and like everyone's wearing masks and socially distanced and blah blah blah, and I still have tests and etc etc. And then yeah, we just shot a video for it, and we just kind of, again, same as the things I do with MGK and Bear and Travis, we just kind of love this scene and love what it means to us and what it means to kind of millions of people, and we just love doing stuff together.
I can't wait to hear it. So the video also comes out on Tuesday. The video comes out.
Yeah, it does. No. Next, I think either Wednesday or Thursday. Sorry, I'm really bad with stuff like that.
It's okay. Next week.
Dude, it's every day is a. I thought today was genuinely Friday.
I did too.
Dude, every day is Friday, so cheers to that. Do you know what I mean?
Cheers, dude.
Cheers with coffee.
Cheers with water. Dude, but we love you.
Yeah. Also, so congrats much, on the VMA, and we hope that you win.
Dude, that's so crazy. Yeah. Even that, man, that's what I was saying. I was like, kind of our like little group of like freaks, and as I said earlier, rejects and everyone in between, to kind of to be making so much noise that we get accepted by like a mainstream platform is just insane. You know what I mean? And as I say, like, it's never been about awards, or it's never been about kind of charts or whatever, but to kind of look at that and to kind of, for us to like, as an emo act, to take something like that would just be insane, and would kind of really amplify to the world that our community is real and it's valid and it's out there and it's not dead and it's still alive and thriving. So fingers crossed, we'll see.
Touch wood. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I think it makes us so happy to have you guys represent the scene in on a larger scale. I think it's really good to see that it's out there.
Dude, always. And Kells is presenting the awards.
I saw that. That's amazing.
I saw it, dude. So I saw the video. I saw the performance because I'm buds with Sandler, at Andrew Sandler.
I haven't seen this performance yet. Is it crazy? VMA one, I'm mad for it. I can't wait.
I mean, would you expect anything else?
No, dude. Like, dude, that guy, like, I just, yeah, I know it's going to be insane.
He's like the king of quarantine. Like, every day he has some elaborate piece of content come out. And I'm like, when did you make this?
Smash it.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Dude, we love it.
But honestly, dude, we can't thank you enough for doing what you do for everybody, like, not only politically and socially, but musically as well. I really feel like you mean a lot to a lot of people and help other people mean a lot to other people. And I think that's the most important thing. And we value that very, very, very much.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. They and you and everyone mean a lot to me. And that is what this whole mutual ideology that we all share is about. Right? Feeling less alone from being exactly who we are.
Totally.
Well, hell yeah.
All right.
Is that how we end this motherfucker?
This is how we end. That's great.
That's kind of fucking dope.
Yeah, that's tight.
Yeah.
Well, have a good rest of your night.
Yeah, you too. Be safe, everybody, and go vote for Youngblood on Twitter.
Fuck yeah.
Vote. All right. We love you, dude.
see you later. We'll talk to you soon,
okay?
Bye.
Have a great night. We'll see you later. Bye, guys.
See you later, man.
See ya.
Ever heard of Stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of Stoicism with a lowercase s and not Stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference. All that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.